Oh, I didn't.
The year of the tsunami when...
Okay.
That was the same year we got snowed in and we went to JP. Snow, we couldn't leave. We had to stay there longer.
Wow. We're on Dav Zainama Bays. We discussed having children off the path in your home is worse than the Battle of Gog and Magog. So now we're going to continue with that example with David and Avshalom. So it says, Mizmor le David, a song of David, Bevarcho mipnei Avshalom beno, when he ran away from Avshalom, his son, who revolted, took over the monarchy, and David had to flee. So as he was running, he was singing a song. So the obvious question the Gemara asks, Mizmor le David, a song of David, Kino le David meboile, it should have been a lament to David. It wasn't anything to sing about. It was something that was very sad. So what's going on? So, Rabbi Shimon ben Avi Shalom. Interesting. Rabbi Shimon, the son of Avi Shalom. Ma Shalom ha-davar da'imah. What could this be analogous to? What am she'atzel of shachov? A person whom a loan document is produced. Okay, meaning he owes some money. Kodem Shapara, before he pays off the debt, who ought save? He is sad. You owe a very large amount of money, and right now he doesn't have the wherewithal to repay. The bank's foreclosing. You're kind of anxious. But you've come up with the money somehow. Lacher Shapara, but when you pay back, so then you're happy. Right? So the same thing with David Melech. Af Kane David. So too with David. Hashem told David for his previous sins, I will raise up evil against you from out of your own house. So now, what could evil from your own house be if you are a king? But what does he know? He owes God something. He owes, and he's going to have to pay it off. He was sad, and he was thinking... Amar, he said, Shema Eved O Mamzeru, it could be a slave or an illegitimate child, to Lo Chayis Olai, who will have no mercy on me. Okay, in other words, an illegitimate person is characterized as a brazen person. In other words, before David knew who it was that would oppose him, he figured he would not maybe survive the rebellion. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, what if he can't pay the debt? The bank takes the house, and you lose. So David HaMelech, he's afraid, who knows who's going to revolt? When kill me, I'll never get my kingdom back. But when he saw it was Avshalom, his own son, who sameach, he was happy. Why? Because generally speaking, a son would have compassion on a father. As we will see. Indeed, even though he didn't have that much compassion, he revolted against his father. But we will see that when Avshalom had the opportunity to kill his father, he did not. Okay.
That's why he rejoiced?
Well, he's saying...
Right before.
He said he rejoiced because if it had been a servant or an illegitimate child, would have killed him. My son, okay, it was bad that he rebelled, but I could at least survive. Alternatively, David rejoiced when he saw that Avshalom proclaimed the rebellion publicly. This enabled David to elude capture and flee. At that moment, he knew that his punishment would not be death, but exile. That's why he begins a song for David. Shumachi Omar Mizmor. Therefore, he said a song. So I saw in... Rabbi Yonis and Ibershitz says an interesting interpretation. And he says, you know, a lot of times a person can suffer in life. Let's say somebody's hitting you. So that's bad. Somebody's hitting me. It's not good. But if you find that someone's hitting you and it's your father, well, then you know there must be a good reason why you're getting hit. Your father who loves you. You know, I'm talking about a father who loves you. He's going to hit you because you did something wrong. You need to learn. So David HaMelech, he figures like this. He says, you know, if just anybody's going to revolt against me, I'm going to suffer, and God isn't even involved in the process. It's like God has just cast me aside and couldn't care less. How can I tell that he's not cast me aside? Because look how unusual the circumstances. It's, you know, because this is the son that I love the most. And this is ridiculous. This should not happen. It's so bizarre that if you'd have to say, if David would have to have predicted years before that if someone's going to revolt, who's it going to be? The last person he would have thought would be Avshalom. And the fact that Avshalom is doing it, so he knows clearly it's the hand of God. And when you know for sure it's the hand of God, God hasn't cast you aside, but he's very much involved in correcting your behavior. That's why he rejoiced. And that's why, that's what I didn't have time to mention in the Holocaust talk 2 weeks ago, that we're saying, you know, if it would have been the person who would have been the dictator would have been from, let's say, from Russia, right? And Russia would go kill lots of Jews. Well, that, you know, that could be, because, you know, it's not unusual. But the fact that Germany, which was a democracy, and Hitler, who was a nincompoop, who was totally incapable of doing anything, if that's how this terrible thing happened, then clearly Hashem was involved in it. It just ran out of time 2 weeks ago. It was on one of the slides, that idea. So that's the point. So if we look at the Holocaust, the way David HaMelech looked at Avshalom, if it's so bizarre, and if you got God's hand signature on this, then you know he is behind it. And then there is what to rejoice, not the fact that you're suffering, but you know that God is guiding it in a way that it's meant to produce the best result for us. And that's the same thing that David HaMelech felt. Okay, next topic. And the only connection is, it's another statement of the Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Rabbi Yochanan said the name of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Mutar lehisgaros bereshoy ma'amaseh. You're allowed to contend with the wicked people in this world. Now, although that might put yourself in danger, because a wicked person may hurt you, it's still permitted. So it's interesting how Rabbi Yochanan says it's permissible to contend with the wicked in this world. He just didn't say in general to contend. He said in this world, which seemed to have no meaning in our context. However, one of the commentaries says the intent is in this era. The more that means that we may seek confrontation with the wicked even in our time when the Torah authorities are not empowered to punish them. In other words, if you had a Bezdin and a Sanhedrin, okay, we can contend with them. We had a Bezdin and punish them. But even in our era, in this world, when there is no Bezdin. So that means, if, let's say, wicked people are trying to, you know, bring in all kinds of evil legislation into the world. That will, you know, that is not good for mankind or the Jewish people. So you're permitted to contend with them. Even though they're kind of nasty people, you know. We could give example. Let me give some example. In there was, you know, kashrus, Baruch Hashem, now is a lot better than it used to be. Okay, thank God we've got agencies, and there's reputable agencies. You have to be careful to follow the reputable ones, but thank God, I don't think it's too hard to find kosher food nowadays. So thank God. But it wasn't always like this, and there were at times in Europe and in the United States in the first half of the 20th century, and even going a little bit further in, there were mafias in the area of kashrut. Very simple money maker. You take, you have to remember, to have kosher beef is an expensive proposition. Because when you shech the animal has to be a healthy animal to Torah standards, not USDA standards or whatever Canada standards are. It's, and Jewish standards are very high. I remember speaking to a shochet once years ago, like in the 70s. He was a shochet and a barber. But so he's giving me the haircut. He's telling me that when he shechs, only 1 out of 10 animals is acceptable. All right? That means you got to sell the rest to non-Jews. And there's a lot of work involved in making sure the food is kosher. There's a reason why kosher meat costs more. You have to have supervision. A lot of thing has to happen much more than in the secular world with that. So it costs more money. Now, you could definitely see how unscrupulous people can walk right in and they will, sell not kosher meat as kosher meat. They may, even though you, let's say you have a ritual slaughterer, and the ritual says, sorry, I did, 20 animals for you, but only 3 are good. They say there's only one person who knows they're not good, and that's you.
Exactly.
Now, how about if you keep your mouth shut? We're going to sell everything. Well, I can't do that. I would suggest you do if you want your wife to not be a widow. And there were great pressures. My father-in-law, Zichron Vracha, would mention, I think his uncle, some kind of relative, who was very much pressured into that. He would not give in, and he was murdered.
Really?
Yes, and there were rabbis in the 1950s and 60s who were trying to stop this, and they were told, we'll kill you if you don't let this go. So they have to kind of quietly tell the observant Jews just not to buy the food. It was not a simple thing. So that's an example of should you contend with a wicked person. I'm just trying to give you an example of contending with a wicked person. Because it's not such a simple thing. It's maybe better we'll just keep our mouths shut. We just won't buy meat. Or, no, you have to fight him. And it's not a simple thing. So, it's in the name of Shem Bar Yochai. Because, when we get to the Daf 33 in Brachos, you're going to see that Rav Shem Bar Yochai did not mince his words when he talked about the Roman Empire. Okay, so as this was a student of Rav Shem Bar Yochai, saying you're permitted to contend with the...
I just had a quick question about your amazing story.
Yeah.
So what conditions exist today that would not permit, supposedly, that kind of environment to take place anymore?
Well, I think we have large kashrus organizations. It's not like the local rabbi,
right.
One guy against the mafia.
Yeah.
It's like you're talking about, the OU is like a massive organization.
Yeah.
Massive. And they have lots of mashkichim. And, if they're going to threaten the mashkiach will quit. Yeah. And the OU will take away the hechsher. They're not going to kill the whole OU. It's not like one guy. You got a president, vice president, board of directors. I mean, this is a massive. It's no different than... we all know that the mafia exists, and they were very powerful, 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, and then Bobby Kennedy went after the mafia in the 60s. Many suggest that that's why he got assassinated. Yes or no, we'll never know the truth. But he said, we're going after you, and they did go after him. They've limited the mafia. But, you can't kill the whole United States government. So I'm just saying. So you have big cash, and you have many cash organizations. Okay, so some are not as reputable. Okay, so therefore we don't, follow everyone. But you've got big ones that are reputable. So therefore they just say, we're not going to give you the hechsher. That's it. And they're going to say, well, you better. It says, no, we're not. And, if you shoot me, there's another 50 rabbis behind me, and you just can't kill everybody. So that, I think, makes it different. Are there things going on we don't know about? I don't know. But anyway, it's a lot better. But there's other areas where it's problems. But anyway, so the question is, well, should you contend with them or better not? You're putting your life in danger. I says you're allowed to. Didn't say you must. You're allowed to. And he has a pasuk to support that Shenemar says in Proverbs, Ozvei Torah Yehalelu Rasha. Those who leave the Torah praise the wicked, but the Shomrei Torah, those who keep the Torah, Yiskarubam, will contend with the wicked people. Tanya Namehachu, we have a brisa that supports this idea. Rab Dustoi Barab Masun Omer, Rab Dustoi, the son of Rab Masun, said, Mutar lehiskaras b'shem elohim hazeh. It is permitted to contend with the wicked people in this world, and he quotes the same pasuk. Shenemar Oz Veitori Halu Rosh, it said to the same pasuk. Now the Brisa continues though. Vimlach Sheikharam Lomer, and should a person whisper to you and saying, yeah, but I know a pasuk that seems to say the opposite. The pasuk says, Vaksiv, it says in Tehillim, Al Tischar Bamreim, do not contend with the wicked. Al Tikane Beyosav, don't be zealous against the evildoers. So there are those who say that.
You can, but don't look.
So he says, you know, anybody who tells you that, that's someone mi shalibo nokfo omer kein, someone whose conscience smites him, explains the pasuk in that way. In other words, he's not giving you the correct interpretation of the pasuk. In other words, he's afraid, he doesn't want to contend, because remember, if you're going to contend against these guys, you better be a tzaddik. Because you're going to need Hashem to protect you, and Hashem just doesn't protect everybody. So maybe he's afraid, and he may not be successful, and therefore he's translating the pasuk incorrectly. Ella, this is how you're supposed to explain the pasuk. Al tischar b'mareim, do not compete with the wicked. Tischar doesn't have to mean contend; it can mean compete. Okay. In other words, do not say, I want to do as the wicked. That's competing with him. Leos kimareim, to be like the wicked. Al tekane, that cannot be zealous, but also envious of oisav of evildoers. Meaning, leos kosav, to do like them. Okay, that's what it means. But Omer, and similarly, the pasuk says, to support the idea that kane means to be jealous as opposed to zealous. Al yekane libcha b'chatoim, don't be jealous of sinners, envious, ki'im b'yiras Hashem k'im, but rather fear Hashem all day long. So it seems pretty clear from what we have so far that one may contend against the wicked. Gemara says, okay, but there really are a lot of sources that seem to dispute that. Gemara says, Aini, is this indeed so that you may antagonize a wicked person, contend with him? V'amar Rav Yitzchak, Rav Yitzchak told us, Imra Isa Rosha Shasha Mesachekas. So we see the wicked person is enjoying good fortune. In other words, the time is smiling upon him. Things are just working well for the guy right now. Whatever he does works in the evil ways. Al Tiskarva, don't contend with him. And there's a pasuk that supports that. Shenemar, it says, let's go back to the pasuk. The whole pasuk says, his ways are always successful. Your judgments are far removed from him. All his foes, he puffs at them. What does that mean? His ways are always successful. The word yachilu means success. Okay? So therefore, so we see that he has times of success. Well, not only that, he even will be victorious in judgment. Take him to court. He's going to win. Shenemar, it says, goes on in the pasuk, your judgments are far removed from him. Heavenly judgments will not happen to the guy. And only that, but he will leave a witness the downfall of his foes, this wicked guy. Shenemar, it says, called Soira Rav Yafiach Behem. He puffs at all his foes. So we see Rabbi Yitzchak says, not only you shouldn't contend with them at all. So how can this be reconciled with the Brisa as you may contend? And that really, he just like blows them down. And they're down. So now, so how do we resolve this? So lo kash on akasha, ha b'mili di day. When Rabbi Yitzchak said you shouldn't contend, it's with your own personal affairs. Habamila Dishmaya. Rav Shimon Bar Yochai says you can contend when you're dealing with heavenly affairs. In other words, if it's a personal thing, it's nothing to do with Yiddishkeit, and the wicked guy is doing well, stay away from him.
But why?
Because you, just for your own personal merits, don't assume you're going to be victorious.
Because he's just so successful.
We're not talking about a spiritual thing now.
No, I know.
Well, let's say the guy's cheating you. Yeah. I'm going to show him. You know what? If things are smiling on him, just leave him be. Just don't try to prove anything. Don't be a hero and be dead. Yeah. You know, I am, because you know how big of a tzaddik are you think you're going to be so successful? If it's a spiritual thing, it's for Hashem. Okay, now you're dealing with Hashem in your corner. That's one explanation. Vibari Sam, another explanation to resolve the contradiction. It can even be both things in spiritual things. But still there's a difference. The little cast out a question. So when we're dealing with the Russia, when he's having good fortune, when you see that Hashem is smiling on him, then even if it's a heavenly thing, stay away. But then when the time is not smiling on him, then you can contend with him. A third answer, you can say, it could be you can even be with a Russia and time is on his side. And still there's a difference, little Kasha. Habit tzaddik gomor, if you're a complete tzaddik, like Reb Shimon bar Yochai, you can go after the guy. Habit tzaddik shenu, but if you're not such a complete tzaddik, better not to go after him.
Yeah, yeah. So I have a question.
Wait, let's just finish up two more lines and we'll have time for questions. The Amar Rav Huna, because Rav Huna brings us out from a pasuk. My dechsev, what does the pasuk mean in Chavakuk? Loma tabi bogdin tacharish bevala rosha tzadik menu. Why do you look upon betrayers? Why do you remain silent when a wicked man swallows up one who is more righteous than he? The question is, v'chi rosha b'lei a tzadik? Does a rosha swallow a tzadik? What are you talking about? There's a verse that says that's not so. Well, Stephen says, Hashem lo yazvenu b'yod, Hashem does not leave the tzadik to be abandoned. Uksivin, it also says, Lo ye'una la tzadik kolavim, no evil shall befall the tzadik. So how can the wicked guy swallow the tzadik? El tzadik mimenu. We're saying, yeah, the wicked guy swallows up a tzadik, he's a bigger tzadik than the Russia. So that's not such a big tzadik. So the wicked will swallow him up. But tzadik gomer, but a real tzadik, ain't a baloi, he doesn't swallow up. That's one answer. Or Yiboy, same as who said before, Shal Mesarel Shalom, when times are smiling on him, then that's different. That's when he can be successful. So what's the difference between the second, third, and fourth answers? Let's see the difference. According to the second answer, there's no difference in a completely righteous person and one who is not completely righteous. The only difference is whether or not the wicked person is successful. If the wicked person is enjoying good fortune, then even a completely righteous person should not contend with it. If the wicked person is not enjoying good fortune, then even a partially righteous make it. That's answer number one. Answer number two, or three really, there's no difference in a successful, unsuccessful wicked person. The only difference is whether the righteous person is completely righteous or not. In the fourth answer, distinction exists both in regard to the righteousness and the wicked. As in the second answer, an unsuccessful wicked person may be pursued by any kind of righteous person. As in the third answer, a completely righteous person may pursue any kind of wicked person. The only case forbidden is for a partially righteous person to pursue a successfully wicked person. In practice, it is inadvisable to contend with the wicked unless all the answers are complied with. That is, we have to take the stringencies of every answer, namely only with regard to heavenly affairs, and when the wicked person is not enjoying good fortune, and when the person considers himself completely righteous. Since this combination is almost impossible, you should generally refrain from that because you get in trouble. Because according to every answer, you see, you have to be strict on all answers. So it comes out, you want to contend against a wicked guy, you better make sure that times are not smiling on him, that it's a heavenly issue, and you're a complete tzaddik. Okay, so if you want to be, you know, somebody like, Reb Shimon bar Yochai, okay, then you take him on. But so you have to understand, you know, and if the wicked guy, so let's say Mordechai, you know, took on Haman, but when he really took him on, it was when Haman was starting to go down. But that's up. Okay, now, that's the end of that. So what's your question?
So I think it almost answers the question, but...
That's what I thought.
But there's a guy who's cheating me in business, and this is a guy, and it's a small thing. It's not a big cheat.
Okay, but tell me if you're going to be risking your life.
Yeah. I mean,
Example. Yeah, okay.
So this guy is a supposedly firm Jew. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like someone who goes to shul, one of these, not a secular Jew. This guy's cheating me in business. And according to my lawyer, he says you don't have a chance to do anything because there's no, like, definitive evidence. Like, in other words, from a legal perspective, you can't touch him because there's nothing that can be done because from a legal perspective, you don't have the proof to prove
right.
But it's clearly there. It's there, but so it's almost like I feel like saying to him, you go to shul, look what you're doing,
But Marilyn says, no, leave him alone. Just leave him be. Not going to get anywhere with him.
How much money are you talking about?
Not a lot. That's like $500.
Okay. Yeah, but do you think that you would kill...
It's an outright cheat.
Do you think that Jew would kill you?
No, he wouldn't kill you.
So then you can contend with him.
Okay.
The issue is if you're putting your life in danger. That's what I'm talking about, the mafia in Shechita.
Okay.
They will kill you.
Yeah.
So now the question is, you want to contend with them.
Yeah.
So the only way you can know if their business isn't doing so well, and this is a heavenly thing, and you're a real tzaddik. Not just better than him, but a real tzaddik. So this guy, well, you could, the simplest solution you can know right away is you say, I want to take you to a Beis Din. If he refuses to go to the Beis Din, you already got your answer.
Right.
You go to a secular court,
right.
the lawyer's saying you're not going
to
win.
He told me, that's right.
So then you could say, I want to take you to a Beis Din. And then he has to say he'll go and listen to the Beis Din. So then you have to, you know, the question is, you know, is it worth it?
Not worth it, probably.
They frustrate, I mean, what do you want to do? To go do a whole campaign, a smear campaign on the guy, and send emails out that Joe Blow, you think he's orthodox, but he's not. He cheats me in business and all these things.
But you can tell him at least. At least tell him directly.
Well, I'm sure you've asked him to give you the money.
Yeah, he refuses outright.
And what's his excuse? What did you say? You don't...
He just lied. He lied about the situation.
Yeah. Well, so there's nothing you can do about that. I don't think it's worth it. Hashem meant for you to lose this money, so
yes.
Accept that with grace.
Yeah.
Okay, let's look at another statement of Rabbi Yochanan in the name of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Anyone who has a set place where he davens, this is my set place. The benefits you accrue are oivav noflim tachtov. Your enemies fall under you. Okay, we already learned this Gemara before that Hashem is happy with such a person. Okay. Rabbeinu Yonah comments that for this reason, even someone who knows but a little should designate a set place where he should study what he knows, contemplate his issues, and the fear of heaven will enter his heart. If he knows nothing at all, he should go to the study hall where Torah is learned, and he will be rewarded for his trip. Either way, if you have a special place for davening, your enemies will fall. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, "V'samti mokom lami Yisrael." I will yet appoint a place for my people of Israel. And I shall establish them as that they may live in a place of their own. And he'll be disturbed no more. And bad people will not torment him anymore as at the beginning. So Hashem is promising David he'll one day set a place of prayer for the Jewish people. And when he does, the people will not be bothered. Okay, Rav Huma, but that pasuk we just had, Rav Huma, Rami, he brings a contradiction. Ksiv, the pasuk says, la'ano, so it says, nor shall iniquitous people torment them. Ksiv, and another pasuk says, l'chaloso, that the bad people will not destroy them. Zachar, in one pasuk, David's told that Israel will be spared from torment, while another one says they're not going to be destroyed. Answer is, B'tchilas, in the beginning, it's talking about when the temple is first built, they won't be tormented. Ulubsof, and at the end, when they sin, and it was decreed in heaven, they got to be tormented. At that time, they'll merit, they will not be destroyed. Okay, let's try one more. Ve'amar Rav Yochanan Shem Hashem ben Yochai, another statement. G'dola shimusha shel Torah yosem elamudo. Attending to a Torah scholar is greater than studying under him. Okay? In other words, you can learn Torah from him, and then you could take care of his needs. Whatever. You attend to his needs. You give him a ride. You do this or that. Why? Because when you attend to his teacher and observes his actions, he learns from the laws that apply in practice. When one studies Torah with his teacher, many laws are discussed with not a practical application. Okay. In other words, you see what your Rebbe is doing, you know, in a day-to-day basis. You learn more from that than from theory as opposed to practice. Shenemar, because let's take a look at a student-teacher relationship. It says, Po, here, Elisha ben Shaphat, here is Elisha, that was the prophet, the son of Shaphat, Asher Yotzak Ma'amadeh Elio. He poured water on the hands of Elio. It doesn't say he studied from Elio, although he did study. Why did they refer to this guy who poured water? Eliyotzek pouring water. Melame teaching us Shekedola Shimusha Yoser Melimuda, that service is greater than studying. Similarly, by Yehoshua, who was the principal disciple of Moshe, he's not described as the student, but the attendant of Moshe. So it's important to attend to their needs as well. Okay, we're going to end it over here.
Okay, cool.